today is found in the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, about Gideon. We find again in this chapter that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. These people, the Israelites, they aren't any different than you and I, for human nature is prone to depart from God. So it was with these people. When they had a judge, they lived for God, they served God and worshiped God. But as soon as the judge died, why, these people, they departed from the living God and began to serve the idols of the gods that were round about them. They served the world, served the flesh, and the things of time and sense. They departed from God. And when they did this, then God left them to themselves and let the enemies prevail over them. We find then that he gave them over into the hands of the Midianites. And the Midianites prevailed over them for 7 years. These Midianites, they descended from the 4th son of Abraham by Keturah, whose name was Midian. These people, they lived at the eastern branch of the Red Sea. Their land ran through all the way unto Mount Zion, to the peninsula where these Israelites dwelt, very close to them. And these Midianites, they came up every year. When Israel had sown, then the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they entered into the land to destroy whatever they could find, and they would leave no sustenance for Israel. They would come with their horses and with their camels and with their tents, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And when they went away, they took with them all the sheep and all the oxen and all the asses that they could lay their hands on. They were in this way robbers, plunderers. They came to destroy, even if possible, the Israelites by starvation. They wouldn't let Israel even gather in what they had sown. Before they could even gather it in, these people came into the land. They came with such a great multitude, the scripture says, they came like grasshoppers. They came and encamped in the land. They lived there. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. These Israelites, they began to go into caves, into dens, into strongholds. They carried their food there so that they would not die of starvation. And now, in all their distress, what was brought upon them, then we find that they cried unto the Lord. These people, the Midianites, they are a type likewise, spiritually, of the enemies of each spiritual Israelite. But what happened to the Israelites happens to every spiritual Israelite when they may depart from God, when they may forsake him, when they begin to become attached to the world, to the things of time and sense, and they can leave God where he is. Does the spiritual Israel do this? Yes, my hearers. All nature is so prone to depart from God. And if we have not grace, then it is more prone so, because we are subject to sin which dwells in us, and a person without grace will naturally fall into evil just as a stone falls to the ground. And these spiritual Israelites, they likewise find that these enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, sin, get the upper hand over them. And when this takes place, why, then they also find that they are greatly impoverished. Instead of having such wonderful feelings after God, such affections towards him, such longings and desires for him, Oh, they find these things rising up in them and getting the upper hand over them. And now these Israelites, in and through the Midianites, they had nothing left practically for themselves. Oh, they feared that they soon would perish. And now they came into such distress that they began to cry unto God. They didn't cry unto him until they got to that point where there was no helper anymore for them. These people, the Israelites, they could have, if they wanted to and had the spirit to do so, they could have arose and fought against these Midianites, and they would have been more than a match for them. But they had no spirit to do so. By sin, they had departed so from God, and there they sat. They dared not rise up against these Midianites, who year after year came into the land and deprived them of all the necessities that they needed to live. And so it is with a spiritual Israelite. When these enemies get the upper hand, then there isn't anything left for them. Oh, then they are brought to a sense of their condition by the Spirit of God. And then they begin to cry unto God, just like the Israelites did. Oh, they began to sigh to this God in heaven above, that he would help them, that he would deliver them. And now God, in his infinite mercy and love, he sent unto the Israelites a prophet. It doesn't say who the prophet was. It doesn't give us his name. But he was a prophet with a message from God. And he came to the Israelites and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the captivity that thou wast in, and I delivered thee out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hands of all those that oppressed thee, and I brought thee into this land, and I said unto thee, Fear not the gods of the Amorites, I am the Lord thy God. But ye have not obeyed my voice. We see here the mercy of God, that he did not leave Israel to themselves. When they cried unto him, we have here a sign how quick God is and how good he is and willing to and ready to forgive, ready to show mercy to people, to sinners that cry unto him. Oh, how encouraging this is, my hearers, if you may be in the state spiritually that I'm speaking about of these Israelites. Oh, he's so ready and willing to forgive us, to turn us back unto himself because we are his people. He loves us. And therefore, he loved these people too. He was in a covenant with these people. And when they cried unto him, he was right ready to send unto them a prophet. And this prophet came to them with a message from God. He brought before them what? He brought before them the goodness of God towards them as a nation. How wonderful God had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. They had been in Egypt. They had been slaves there. They were crying under their burdens. And God came and delivered them out of their captivity. And he delivered them likewise out of the hand of all the Egyptians. He delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And he brought them into this land in which they were dwelling. He also delivered them out of the hands of all those that oppressed them. And they had been oppressed many times while they were in this land as we follow this book of Judges. And he brought before them the goodness of God. God had been mindful of them every time, and when they cried to him, he was right ready to help them. And now this prophet brought this before them. And now this sermon that this prophet brought, he probably went throughout the land preaching this. It brought results. We may believe it was blessed. There were many that were brought to repentance. They began to see what they had done against God. And they began to cry in earnest to God that he would deliver them out of the hand of the Midianites. So it goes spiritually, my hearers. When God comes and brings us to a feeling realization of what we have done, then likewise we begin to cry to God in earnest, in sincerity, that he would bring us out of the power and out of the might and the dominion of all these enemies that have the upper hand over us. And he does. Oh, he's such a wonderful God. He sends in a message just like he sent to Israel of old. Oh, he uses sometimes his own word. Sometimes he sends a minister with a message. And this message comes home. He presents unto his people what he has done for them. Oh, how good he was to them, how he sought them out, how he chose them, and how he led them. And he brings home to them what they have done against him. And then there is a deep repentance. Oh, there is a sorrow of returning unto God. So it was here with the Israelites. Oh, these Israelites, they were brought in by this message in the right place. And now God, in his infinite mercy, he comes down here upon earth, this second person in the Trinity, the Son of God. He came down and he sat under an oak in Ophrah, which pertained unto Joash the Abizarite. This person who I am speaking about came and appeared as an angel. Often in the Old Testament times, the Son of God took on the form of a human being and appeared unto some of these saints that were living upon earth. So it was here. This angel that we read of was none other than the second person in the Trinity. And he sat under an oak, the Bible says. I looked up this word oak, and in the Jewish language, it's a different title to this tree. And the tree that he sat under was an immense tree. It had beautiful, luxurious foliage. And these trees, they remain green throughout the whole year. And they live 1,000 years. And when the one tree begins to die, it leaves a scion of another one. And this one likewise grows up and becomes a huge tree like the one that has passed away and also lives 1,000 years. This tree then, under which this angel came, was in the pasture or in the field of a man by the name of Joash. And now there was a young man, a son of Joash, by the name of Gideon. And this young man, he was threshing wheat by the winepress. He was not threshing wheat where he was supposed to do it, in the threshing floor, but he was doing it by the winepress. And he was doing this for fear of the Midianites, for they were coming into the land. And he feared that if they saw him doing this, they would not only take away his wheat, but they would also kill him. So he did it in some hidden corner so he would not be seen. And now while he is threshing this wheat, we find that this angel of the Lord appears unto him and speaks unto him and says unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And we have here then this man Gideon. He had servants, he had helpers, but he was doing this work alone. He was all alone threshing the wheat. And when he was alone in this secluded place, the Lord appeared to him. Now, this is the way it goes with God's dear children. Do you like to be alone? Some people don't. It isn't good for a man or a woman to be alone, the Bible says. That means to be alone in the world. It's better to be married. But if you have the grace of God in your soul, you will be seeking times to be alone. And how good it is sometimes to be alone when you can give God whatever is in your heart. You can pour it out to him. You can't always do this, but at times he does give you to do this. And this is such a blessing when we find access to God and we may come to him. And this is when God meets with us, when we are alone sometimes. Alone sometimes in a room praying to him. Alone sometimes when we are at work. Some of you as women, maybe you're home. You're doing your daily work. And maybe you're sighing, you're crying, you're pleading, you're desiring that God would have something to do with a sinner like you. And suddenly, down comes a verse sometimes, or some psalter, a line out of the Bible. It strikes your mind, it strikes your heart, and soon you're going out to him that spake unto you. Sometimes you're at your employment, some of you's men, and you're busy working, but suddenly something comes into your heart and into your mind out of the scriptures, and this has the upper hand. This draws you out to him who brought this word into your heart. And how sweet it is when God gives you some communion, some fellowship with himself, irrespective of where you may be. You don't always have to be alone. But it pleases God many times to visit his people when they're alone. See it here in Gideon, alone. All alone, cutting the wheat, threshing the wheat. And suddenly, the angel appears to him. And he speaks wonderful words to him. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. We don't read nothing about Gideon being a mighty man. Why did God address him as such? He must have been a mighty man. He was a brave man. He was a fearless man. He lived with his father. And his father, he served Baal. His father had an image of Baal. And you may be sure that this young man, he protested against this. He spake many times against this to his father, as much as he possibly was able to do. And he was disliked. You protest against sin. You rise up in your family against the things that are evil in the sight of God. You will find that they will not like you. They will dislike you. They disliked him, Gideon. And now Gideon, he is here all alone with the Lord. And the Lord says unto him, the Lord is with thee. In a certain sense, he was. He was standing right in the front of him. What a mercy, my hearers, when the Lord is with us. And when he says that he is with us, when he gives us a witness of it, this is what Gideon had. The Lord is with thee. Have you ever experienced that the Lord was with you? Oh, when the Lord is with us, my hearers, then we are the smallest, the humblest person in this world. Yea, then people could walk over the top of us. Oh, when the Lord is with us, then we are the chiefest, the greatest, or the vilest, and the blackest sinners in his sight. Oh, when anything of the Lord comes into our hearts, that likewise brings a knowledge of ourselves with it. And what a mercy if the Lord is with us. When he says so himself. And there's another mercy behind this if we are given faith to believe it. This, you will find in Gideon's experience, was not the case. The Lord is with thee, he said unto him, thou mighty man of valor. What a wonderful saying. You think it would have strengthened him, it would have encouraged him, and it would have lifted him up above everything that he had in his heart that he feared. But no. He answers the Lord and says, if the Lord be with us. He didn't take this as a personal message. The Lord said, the Lord is with thee. But he says, if the Lord be with us, then why are all these things befallen us? Our fathers told us of how that the Lord delivered us out of the land of Egypt and of the wonders and the miracles that he performed for us. But now, the Lord hath forsaken us. You see, Gideon, he didn't have much faith. For if he had had faith, he would have received that salutation in love and affection. The Lord is with thee. How would you feel if the Lord said that to you? You know, if God don't give you faith to receive it, well then probably you'll think, I can't believe that the Lord is with me. There may be some listening to me that say, I can't believe that either. I'm just like Gideon. If the Lord was with me, some soul might be saying, just like Gideon. Well, why are all these things befallen me? If the Lord was with me, I wouldn't be like I am. I wouldn't be so dead, so barren, so lifeless, so faithless, so hopeless, so loveless. I sure would be entirely different if the Lord was with me. This is what Gideon said. If the Lord be with us, why then are all these things befallen us? Maybe you say the same thing. All my hearers, the Lord might be with you, teaching you and instructing you and dealing with you according as his eternal counsel is, so that you may learn to know yourself. Now you will take another view of this subject, which I got. Gideon, when he was told that the Lord was with him and that he was a mighty man of valor, he did not say, Lord, it's all our own fault that we're in this condition. It's all in and through our sins that we have brought ourselves under the dominion of the Midianites. And now, Lord, we have heard before of what thou hast done. Oh, won't you please deliver us? He didn't say that. It was just like if he was putting the blame on God. It was just like if he said, well, your presence isn't with us, or otherwise we wouldn't be in this state. Now, the Lord's presence was still with Israel. Oh, yes. Did he not hear their cry? Did he not send a prophet to them? And was he not himself in the front of Gideon at this present moment? He sure was for Israel. And still Gideon says, the Lord has forsaken us, and therefore we are in this condition. Have you ever said it? Have you feared too sometimes that the Lord hath forsaken you and that you're going to perish in the state and in the condition you are in? Oh, my hearers, this is what Gideon thought too. But now the Lord, he spake unto him. And when he spake unto him, my hearers, he spake in love, in affection. Or he spake to this man in a way that he likewise was strengthened inwardly by the voice that he heard, the Lord is with thee. Still he doesn't confess his faith in this saying. And now he complains that the Midianites have the upper hand. And now the Lord looked upon him, it says, and said unto him, go in this thy might, and thou shalt deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Oh, my hearers, the patience, the mercy, the love of this God in heaven above towards this man, Gideon. He looked upon him. Have you ever been given to realize that the Lord was looking upon you? Have you ever been under the means of grace and you began to realize that the Lord's eye was upon you? You know, when the Lord's eye comes down upon us, then we are given two sights. We're given to see something of the majesty, of the glory, and of the goodness, and of the love, and of the mercy of this great and glorious being in heaven above. But with that, we are also given a sight of ourselves. Such a sight as we never had before. Such a sight of our ignorance, of our blindness, of our sinfulness. Oh, I can't express it in words, my hearers, what it is when the Lord looks upon us. Has he ever looked upon you? He looked upon Gideon. You know, he looked upon Peter after Peter had denied him three times. And Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter was given to know what he was, and he was given a sight of what Jesus was doing on the cross. Oh, my hearers, if you are ever given such a sight, then you will have this in your heart too. Oh, the Lord looked upon me in love and mercy and pity and in compassion. This is the way he looked upon Gideon. And he spake unto him and said, go in this thy might, in the might that I give you, in me looking upon you, in me speaking to you, and saying, I am with you. Go in this thy strength, and you will certainly deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. A promise. A promise God gives him that he would most certainly have the victory over the Midianites. And then to assure him, have not I sent you? Ah, this great, this glorious, this divine being who I am, who hath all power, who hath all might and all strength and all wisdom, I have sent you. Oh, there may be maybe some young man listening to me that might say, oh, that the Lord would come to me and say to me, go in this thy might, and that he would send me out to preach his glorious gospel, and that he would say, I have sent you. Oh, how this would confirm then what was going on in my heart. Oh, that the Lord would give me a word where I may be assured of that he is using me and sending me into such a wonderful service. Of this man Gideon then, and he was given to hear that he would surely gain the victory and that the Lord would be with him. You would think that this was sufficient, that he would immediately have gone, raised an army, and that he would have went to fight against the Midianites. But no. You could see that this man was very weak in faith. For then he says unto the Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, let me present a present unto thee. Do not go away till I bring it to thee. And Gideon then desired that the Lord would remain, that he would tarry there. My hearers, if God ever comes to you, and God ever communes with you, then you wouldn't want him to go away either. Or you would say, remain. Have you ever had that? Under the means of grace sometimes, listening to a sermon, your heart open, your ears open, it's just for you it seems. Or you wouldn't want the Lord to go away. You wouldn't want the minister to stop either. You wouldn't care if it stayed on and on, for this is the language of God to your soul. Oh, how sweet it is when we have some communion with God. Gideon, he had this too. He didn't want the Lord to go away. And Gideon, he had said, which I forgot to say, he had said to the Lord that he was of the poorest of the families in Manasseh, and that he was the meanest in his family. In other words, that he was the smallest, and that he was the one that was despised, and that he was the person that had no ability to go forward to do this work that God had called him to. This was such a great honor, and he felt himself so small and so insignificant to go, that he tells the Lord that he was of the smallest family of the Israelites, and that he was the meanest in his family. In this, my hearers, we see how that Gideon felt himself to be in comparison to the way the Lord spake to him and said of him. All grace always humbles, my hearers. And God uses the most unlikely person sometimes for a great work. If God calls one of us to do something, then we immediately feel, most of us, not like Isaiah who said, send me, but like Moses. Oh, we are all so insufficient. We are so incapable of doing what God calls us to do. So this man, Gideon, felt himself to be. But now the Lord, he spake unto him and told him that he would be with him. I will be with thee. That's sufficient. But that's enough to make any one of us a mighty man of valor if the Lord is with us. And now he wants to present a present unto the Lord. So the Lord says he would tarry there until he came. So he went back to his house, and he came with a kid, a goat. He had prepared this, and he brought likewise unleavened cakes, and he brought the meat in a basket, and he brought the broth in a pot, and he came back to this angel of the Lord who was still under the oak. And he presented him this present. Now, Gideon, he wanted a sign of the Lord to believe that it was the Lord that was speaking to him. If I have found grace in thy sight, he says, show me a token that thou speakest unto me. And now the Lord is going to show him a token. He's going to prove to him that it is himself that is speaking to him. So when he presented this kid to him, he said, lay it there on the rock. And he put it on the rock. He's put the cakes on the rock too. And then the Lord, he took the staff that was in his hand, and he touched this kid and the cakes, and fire came up out of the rock and consumed the kid and the cakes that was on it. And then the angel of the Lord disappeared.